When we continue to buy into these narratives that men are shit, are toxic, are manipulative, are wounded, are pathetic, are sexist, are whatever else, insert your derogatory word, we don't do anything for ourselves as women. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another juicy episode. And we are filming from my office today as well. So if you're watching the video version, you have a little bit of a different angle because I've put the camera on the side angle. I realized last time that I was shooting front on, which is fine, but I've been kind of loving doing the side angle because I'm just like, does anyone really love me just staring straight at them? So now you get to see a little bit of a corner of my office that you don't normally get to see on Instagram stories, which is kind of fun. Okay. Today we have a great episode. This is a great one for the ladies, but a great one for the men as well. So I'm really excited to dive in. So we are diving into the difference between healed and wounded masculine energy and why feminism isn't creating more healed masculinity. It's just demonizing it and feminizing men and masculinating, making women more masculine. I don't know what the correct word would be for that. So just the other day, I saw an Instagram reel that was absolutely fucking ridiculous, saying that feminine men are manipulative and toxic. And I say this is absolutely ridiculous because if you really understand the behavior of manipulation and like unhealthy or quote unquote toxic behavior, it's not feminine or masculine. It's literally human. I don't love the word toxic. I know I sometimes accidentally use it. I really try and not use the word toxic because I just think that you can, it is such a harsh label to put on somebody. And people are very quick to be like, that person's toxic or their behavior is toxic. And a person isn't toxic. Right? Like toxic is a chemical, right? Like, sorry, we were talking about like something is toxic. We're talking about like the chemicals you're spraying on your fucking clothing that you're then wearing. Like that is toxic. But somebody's behavior isn't like, I just don't think the word toxic is the right word to be describing it. And I think that it can have such a harsh energy that we take on about that person that isn't necessarily fair to them or giving them like a fair chance, right? So I like to more so just refer to behavior as wounded or healthy. I just think that when you say that a behavior is more wounded, it's like, well, the wound can heal, right? But something toxic, it's like you can't heal something toxic. You have to like scrap it completely and get something untoxic, if that makes sense. But nonetheless, unhealthy behavior, or if you want to call it toxic behavior, it's human. Right? It is a person that has a history of shit just like we all do. And their coping mechanism is to be manipulative or to engage in unhealthy behavior. Does that make them a bad person? No. Does that make them the kind of person that deserves to have a very degrading label slapped on them? No, absolutely not. And when we slap these labels on people these days, people are very quick to slap labels onto people these days, which is very harmful. It's not only harmful for the person, it's really harmful for you. And it's harmful for the future of your relationship with that person, and really just harmful for your own ability to be a high functioning human in society and to be able to have emotional intelligence. Like if you just go around a room easily in your head being like toxic, toxic, this, that, and slapping labels on people, you're not giving yourself the opportunity to actually open your mind and learn something different about them. It's like you've already made up your mind about that person. And once you've already made your mind up about something or about a person, it becomes a lot harder to kind of undo that, if that makes sense, versus not making your mind up straight away and slapping a label on it allows you to develop more of a relationship with the person or just get to know the person more before you make a judgment about them. So to make something really clear that I want you to all remember, people are not inherently bad people most of the time. The people that actually want to inflict pain and harm on other people often end up in jail, right? Most people just want to be seen, heard, validated, appreciated, loved. You know, I was listening to a podcast the other day and the interviewer asks, why do you think or why do women cheat? Actually, he didn't even say why do you think women cheat or why do you think men cheat? He just said, why do people cheat? And she was going on about basically explaining how like there's always signs of why somebody is a cheater. And like basically I'm not saying that she was incorrect in what she was saying. She was essentially saying that like it's inherent within the person. But she missed a whole chunk of why people cheat. And it's not necessarily inherent. There weren't necessarily red flags. They were going to cheat on you 10 years in at the beginning of the relationship. I understand what she meant about the flags, and the flags were that there was like signs along the way that they were going to possibly engage in this behavior and you didn't pick it up. But what's often forgotten when I hear about people giving these answers of why people cheat is they immediately kind of like blame, well, like men just want sex, or like men have these needs, and if she's not giving it to them, like it's easier for him to go out and just get a prostitute or go out and get an escort and like blah, blah, blah. And these kind of more fantasy answers, as in like the reason is because people have these fantasies, they're not getting them met in the bedroom at home, so they go and get them met elsewhere. And I'm like, that's maybe one part of it. But another really big part of why people cheat, it's because they want to be seen, and they're not feeling seen or heard or understood or loved or appreciated or accepted or safe at home. And then when somebody else makes them feel seen or heard or appreciated or understood, now they're then getting that inherent need as a human to be seen, understood, appreciated, loved, wanted, cherished, respected. Women want to be cherished. Men want to be respected. So if you're not getting that at home in your relationship, and then all of a sudden this beautiful person starts to give that to you, it's like, what do you think is going to happen? Which is why it's so important as a human in a relationship that you understand that you are 50% of every single problem. Even if they're the ones that ended up cheating, let's just say on the topic of cheating, even if they're the ones that ended up cheating, you did have a role to play in that. Which is why it's so important that you don't engage, in my opinion, in just immediately jumping to like these black and white conclusions. I see way too many people these days jumping to these conclusions of, well, he's this or she's this. And that's not helping you at all. When we jump to conclusions, we completely miss the step of understanding and learning. And in the learning to understand the other person and learning why they're engaging in such behavior, that phase in the learning and the understanding is where the growth happens, is where the healing happens. And a lot of people miss that. So one of the things that I was saying, and I want you guys to remember, is that people are not inherently bad people, right? People just want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be validated. And sometimes the way that they will get that can be hurtful, can be bad, and it can seem like they're bad people, but they're actually just doing the best that they can in the given moment. And who are we to blame them for that, right? You're just doing the best that you can. I'm doing the best that I can. We're all doing the best that we can. And actually, one of the core principles in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is that all human beings at all times are doing the best they can with the resources that they have. So a feminine man is not just manipulative and toxic. And when we continue to, especially as women, label men like this, we're not only doing them great harm, but we're also doing ourselves a lot of harm, because we are continuing to tell ourselves that men can't be trusted, that certain men are bad, and thinking it's that simple. But it's never that simple. Never that simple. Now, maybe if there has been a problem that's been reoccurring for 5 years straight, it's like, no, Monica, it's that fucking simple. Different story, right? We always need to remember there is different nuances to this. I'm giving you guys general advice and information. You've of course got to make it your own. You've got to read through the lines. You've got to add your own flavor to it. But my point is that if you have this black and white view of the world on things, especially in relationships where you are involving another human being, you are not going to get very far in your relationship, in your business, in your career, in your health, because nothing is ever that simple. The solution yesterday might not be the solution today. Because today you've got two sleep deprived people, you're, you know, getting on a plane, you're coming home from an airport, the fucking tap was leaking. There are other external factors that can influence our internal factors. And so when things in your mind stay so black and white and you don't allow the nuances to involve, to influence what he is doing or what you are doing or what she is doing, you can be of great detriment to yourself. Okay, so healed masculine energy. Healed masculine energy is space. It's presence. It's structure. It's discerning. It's dominating in a healthy way, of course. It has direction, clear sense of purpose. But if you don't, as a man, have a clear sense of purpose right now, that doesn't make you a wounded man. See how you need to add context. Remember, nothing's black and white. But purpose is important for a man to feel like he's fully embodied in his masculinity. He is protective. He wants to provide. He's embodying leadership, confidence, commitment, goal-orientated, taking action. That is that masculine energy. Let me read it out once more for you guys. So spaciousness, right? He likes space. Men like space. Presence, structure. He's discerning. He's dominating in a healthy way. He has direction. He has a clear sense of purpose. He's protective. He wants to provide. He has leadership. He has confidence. He has commitment. He's goal-orientated and he's taking action. Now, wounded masculine energy is driven from the ego a lot, right? So really worried about what everybody else is going to think, how people perceive him, very head ego kind of driving force. When a man doesn't put women, children, planets, like the planet, animals first, and he doesn't respect them, and instead he is putting sex and money first, that's a pretty clear sign of a man, whether it's you as a man or whether it's a woman that's like, if you as a woman listening to this, dating a man, if he's putting money and sex first, it's not that he necessarily is like a bad guy, but just something to raise an eyebrow about. You want a man that respects women, that puts them first, children first, etc. I said this in another episode, but I want to say it again because it is very, very important. If you are dating somebody as a woman, women, if you are dating somebody, a guy that has children already, if he is not putting his children first, he's putting you first, that is a bigger red flag than you think. Because a man that is not putting his children first is not a man that you are going to respect. And it's sure as shit not a man that you are actually going to feel protected and provided by. He's not being a man. You actually, as frustrating as it can be, you want a man that's like, that literally says to you, I can't see you tonight. I'm going to be a dad to my children tonight. That is a man that you can respect. And that is a man that you want to be with. Doesn't mean it's necessarily easy, but it's worth it in the long haul. A passive man might be nice at the beginning because you get to choose whatever you want to do. But let me tell you, 3 months in, 6 months in, 2 years in, 10 years in, your blood is going to be permanently boiling all the time. And you are going to be so filled with rage because you don't respect him. You don't feel led by him. You don't feel protected by him. It feels like you are doing everything. Not a vibe. Nobody wants it. Men, take note of that as well. Then there are traits. Oh, wait, hold on. I haven't gone through the wounded masculine energy. So let me go through some of these wounded masculine energy. So I started with driven from the ego a lot. That's obviously one. Very critical of himself and also of others. If he is judgmental of himself and others, that can be a wounded masculine trait. Needing to always prove himself. Low self-worth. Very controlling in an unhealthy way. Right? So I say unhealthy way is that's the important part. So he's going against your desire. For example, maybe you as a woman are desiring to go and do something tonight with him and he is being very controlling about it and very domineering and not letting you do that and not even giving you a really considerate answer for it where you're like, oh, that actually does make sense. Instead, it's feeling very controlling and like you don't have permission or your desires, your wants, your ideas are not good enough or valid or taken into account or respected. forceful, obviously a man that is forceful when the other person doesn't want that, right? So I'm not talking about when he walks in the door from work and he grabs you and pushes you up against a wall whilst you're in the middle of chopping carrots. Like, we all want that. I'm not talking about that kind of forceful. I'm talking about forcefulness in an unhealthy way where you are not wanting it. Obviously, him being unsupportive, whether it's of you, whether it's of the children, whether it's of his friends, shaming, especially shaming a woman's emotions and expressions, that feminine expression. When a man is shaming the feminine expression, or when your internal masculine as a woman is also then shaming your internal feminine, so you are shaming your emotions, your expression, that is a wounded masculine trait. Any kind of instability, right? So him being unstable, wounded masculine. And again, let's add context. If you're fresh out of college, I hope you're fucking unstable. Like, as you should be, you are discovering life, right? So if you're a 21-year-old guy listening to this and you're feeling unstable, that doesn't mean that you're less than or you're not enough of a man. No, you're figuring yourself out. We all have to figure ourselves out. But that's kind of like the thing for you of like, I don't want to feel unstable. And the fact that you don't want to feel unstable and that you are progressing towards stability and that you're taking action on finding your purpose, being on purpose and having that direction is a thumbs up, right? And a great green flag. It's a really good thing. Okay. And then the last one I'd written down to give you guys is aggressiveness. Well, it's obviously not warranted. So different if he's being aggressive for protection, whether it's self-protection or whether it's protection of you or his children or something else. So aggressiveness when it's not about protection, also not needed and very much a wounded masculine trait because he's not able to express dominance in another way, or he's not able to, he doesn't feel confident and therefore needs to be aggressive to feel like he is in control, whether it's in the relationship, whether it's in the business, whether it's on the side of the street, whatever it is. Then there are traits that some people will put into a box of quote unquote wounded masculine, but I don't put it into a box of wounded masculine because it's just being fucking human, right? It's being a human being with wounds that need some healing. Done. If we start over labeling like feminine masculine, I know I say this like time and time again to you guys of like, don't stress too much about the labeling. It's about the way in which you do something. Because if you obsessively label things, you're just going to get confused and overthink. Like a woman that's in her feminine, that doesn't mean you don't want to have any discernment. No, you need discernment. It's just the way in which you are discerning. If you're discerning with a closed heart, right? You're discerning from your head all the time. Then yeah, that's more masculine. But if you're discerning from a place of I'm protecting my heart, I'm trusting my intuition, it's completely different. So some of these things, it's like, oh, take it with a grain of salt. It's a way in which you are engaging in the actual action, in my opinion, as to whether it's more feminine, masculine, okay? So some of the things that I don't want to put into a box of wounded masculine, it's just like being a wounded human and you're working on it and that's all that matters, is being very defensive. So some people put this in the box of like, you know, defensiveness is a wounded masculine trait. It's also can be a wounded feminine trait as well. It's just like a wounded, and therefore it's a wounded human trait. So being very defensive, like afraid of being wrong, and needing to like prove yourself and defend yourself all the time, that's just a sign of insecurity, right? So you're going to work on your insecurity. Any kind of overthinking. Overthinking is a trauma response, right? If you are a chronic overthinker, it is probably because in your childhood, the way in which you were able to feel safer is if you were able to think of every possible scenario that could happen so you can see how you need to show up to reduce the chance of you feeling stressed, traumatized, unsafe, etc. So now as an adult, you overthink every situation because you're trying to find the thing that's going to make you feel unsafe or the bad thing that's going to happen so that you can essentially try to avoid it happening in a nutshell, right? There's obviously different versions of it for everyone. That is overthinking. So overthinking is just a trauma response. It's not a masculine or feminine thing. Being manipulative. If you are someone that is a very manipulative person, again, it's not a feminine or a masculine thing because women can be very sexually manipulative. Men can also be manipulative in a different way. Everyone can be manipulative. When somebody is being manipulative, all they're trying to do is gain control. They're essentially feeling unsafe. in some way, shape, or form. And so their way of gaining a sense of safety is to manipulate the situation or the person. And, you know, in manipulating the person, for example, so that they are then doing what they, like, if I am manipulating you essentially, because I want you to do something a certain way, it's so that I can then feel safe. It's so that I feel like I will know the outcome. Right? Especially if you've never been in a relationship before, or if your relationships were very tumultuous as a child and as a teenager and as a young adult, relationships can feel very, very unsafe. They can feel very stimulating and rocky to your nervous system. And we as humans don't like when we don't know what's going to happen. We like to know what's happening next, right? That kind of predictability gives us a sense of safety. And so sometimes people will try and manipulate situations to get a sense of predictability and to feel like they are in control. So especially if the person doesn't feel like they have a great sense of control in their life, they're probably more likely to manipulate you because it makes them feel like they have some kind of control and significance and confidence. Obviously, it's all just an illusion, but that generally speaking, people aren't manipulating you because they're a bad person. Often they don't even know they're doing it. I spoke about this in the episode about narcissism. Most of the time, people don't know they're narcissists. Most of the time, the people that are being very manipulative or gaslighting a lot or being very narcissistic in their actions, they are incredibly wounded and broken and hurt, and they feel that, and they're trying to get some kind of sense of safety in their body. That's all that it is. And they haven't been given another way to do it. So manipulation can very much be a trauma response. Some women will manipulate through sex. If they have never felt accepted or loved or safe as a child and as a teenager, very often women with a intense history of trauma, especially sexual trauma, will end up going into a lot of sex work, not from a place of empowerment and like, this is my life's purpose, but rather because they are trying to feel like they have a sense of control. They manipulate the men that they're dancing for or that they're working with or that they're escorting. And they're not doing it because they are trying to be mean people. It's from a very unconscious place where they're actually trying to feel seen and loved and safe and validated. But the only way they know how to actually provide worth is through sex, is through their body. They don't know any other way to like show their worthiness, if that makes sense, to feel like they're enough. So that can be another way that women manipulate. They'll manipulate through sex, through their body, through seductiveness. And so when women go on about like how women are weak and like blah, 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 and you know, we have to like prove ourselves, I'm like, are you tapped into your sexuality? Because a woman that is tapped into her sexuality is a very, very powerful woman. Like our sensuality and sexuality and femininity can be very dangerous when we know how to use it and kind of manipulate people with it. Very, very dangerous. If you've read any kind of history books on sexuality and sensuality, you would know this. So women are not weak. We are not doormats. We are very dangerous, and we can get whatever we want whenever we want it when we are tapped in to our femininity. And that can be used for good or for evil. All I'm saying is, ladies, learn how to use your body to your advantage because it will help you, right? Don't think that men are the only ones that are able to manipulate and to get what they want, because trust me, women know how to do it better. Just gonna leave that one there. I kind of already said this one, but gaslighting as well is a trauma response, right? It's deflection, it's projection in a form. So that's not a wounded feminine or a wounded masculine thing by any means. It's just a wounded human thing. Other one is any kind of like abuse of substances. It's not wounded feminine or wounded masculine. People will put it on like the wounded masculine list. I'm like, you know, women drink and use drugs and that kind of thing. So nonetheless, that also is just a wounded feminine thing. Any kind of abuse, overuse, etc. of substances, intense selfishness, being really, really selfish. It can be a wounded feminine or wounded masculine thing. And then being cold and distant. again, is often a wounded, seen as a very wounded masculine thing. But I wanted to put this one in here because, yeah, it's a wounded masculine thing, but women can also be very cold and distant because they have rejected their femininity. Now, whether you want to say that as a wounded feminine thing or a wounded masculine thing is up to you. But that to me, it's just like that's too confusing. This is just a wounded feminine thing. Sorry, a wounded human thing. Being really cold and distant, this was me a long time ago, is purely just a fear of getting hurt. It's, you know, maybe you've told yourself that to be emotional is to be weak. Maybe you've demonized the feminine, whatever it is. But it's not just men that are cold and distant. It's not just men that are avoidant. That is such a myth of like only men cheat, or like men are the cheaters, or, you know, men are the abusers, or men are the avoidant ones. Women can also do all of those things and be all of those things. I put a nugget on my Instagram story the other day, or the other week, actually, by the time you listen to this, about how your mom gives you the blueprint of being, of the feminine, and your dad gives you the blueprint of the masculine. Now, obviously, for a lot of us, we weren't given a very great blueprint of what it means to be the feminine or what it means to be the masculine. And the vast majority of us did not feel like we did not feel like we were given this blueprint of how to be a strong, graceful, warm woman by any means. The blueprint was very traumatized, let's just say. And somebody responded, a few of you responded to my story saying, I think that my mom and dad got the feminine masculine mixed up, because my mom definitely gave me the blueprint of the masculine and my dad definitely gave me the blueprint of the feminine, as in their mom was really masculine, their dad was really feminine. Now, I understand what they're saying, but this actually proves my point more. Your mom didn't give you a blueprint of the masculine per se. Your mom gave you the blueprint of the feminine, aka don't be feminine, be masculine. Your dad gave you the blueprint of men, of masculinity. They're soft, they're weak, they're untrustworthy, they're unreliable, they're emotionally distant, they're emotionally unavailable, whatever it is that your dad was like. And so actually, these are your blueprints of the feminine and of the masculine. So you might have hyper independence, hyper masculinity, a very cold shell around you as a woman, and you don't know how to be in your feminine. That's my point exactly. You were like not even given a blueprint of what it means to be a feminine woman that you can even function with. Instead, you were given how to be a hyper-independent bitch. That was given to you by your mom. And then your dad gave you this really passive blueprint of masculinity. So that's the kind of men that you're stuck fucking dating, and you don't know why you can't get yourself out of the loop. So don't think that the feminine and masculine means like soft and hard or anything like that, because you very well may have a relationship with the feminine that is not ideal, but it's still your relationship with the feminine. So if your relationship with the feminine is it's weak, it's pathetic, it's soft, it's X, Y, Z, A, B, C, that is your relationship with the feminine. Now, as a result of that, you might, like, your response to that could be an armor around you. It could be cold. It could be distant. It could be hypermasculinity. It could be pushing everybody away. It could be hyperindependence. That's your response to the blueprint that you were given of feminine energy. Much like the blueprint that you were given of masculinity from your dad, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, it's irrelevant. That's your blueprint of masculinity. So if you as a man are listening, if as a man, you grew up with a very passive dad that didn't put his foot down to his mom, that let his mom walk all, that let your mom walk all over him, that was emotionally unavailable. Maybe he was, you know, addicted to work all the time. He wasn't really there. That is your blueprint of the masculine. Now, you already probably want to be different to that, which is amazing, but do you know how to be? No. You might think you know how to be, but you actually haven't been given a blueprint. So you're kind of just waddling around in the dark. It's very, very helpful to speed up the outcome that you want, aka to be an embodied feminine woman or to be an embodied masculine man, to be given a really great blueprint that actually works, because you need that direction and you need that kind of like it's worked before to feel like, okay, this is what I'm sinking into. Otherwise, it's so much trial and error and it can feel really, really draining. So I'm not saying that you want to then copy my feminine blueprint or my masculine blueprint that I've made for myself. You want to be able to create your own new feminine blueprint and new masculine blueprint. In order to do that, you need to create a blank slate. So you need to like clear out the old blueprints first so that they are not having a unconscious impact as you create your new blueprints. Obviously, clearing that out is clearing that relationship that you currently have with the masculine and with the feminine and healing those things so you can have a blank canvas and then create your own that actually works for you with guidance and direction on what's important in a masculine blueprint and in a feminine blueprint. And maybe I'll eventually do some kind of like masterclass on this for you guys, because I feel like that'd be a really fun topic on helping give you guys some guidance on actually literally creating like a little roadmap. But for those of you that really do need help to recreate your feminine blueprint and recreate your masculine blueprint, and I'm saying feminine masculine, but like even in that feminine blueprint, ladies, there's still masculine components of that because you need the masculine to balance the feminine, and then vice versa for men. For men, the man is going to be your best thing. For women, Queen Alchemy and or my immersion is going to be your best thing as well. Okay. So when we make people think that they have to be like a perfect healed human all the time, we just set them up and ourselves for failure because we are human and we are not robots. So if you are trying to be with some perfect person or you have this expectation that they need to be a perfect person, what's going to happen on a bad day when you're exhausted and you're hangry and you might be a bit of an ass? You're going to be a shit, but does that make you a manipulative, toxic man? No, it just makes you a person. And so circling back to this reel that I was telling you guys about, where she said, this is like a woman saying this, feminine men are manipulative and toxic. I'm just like, what the fuck? Like I was just, the way that she was saying it also, I was like, this is not helping. But it was such a bad reel. And I was like, anyway, like massive fucking eye roll. And there was like a bunch like this. And I was like, okay, this woman does not have it correct by any means. And so what's really important for ladies, you to understand, and men, I want you to understand this too. When we continue to buy into these narratives that men are shit, are toxic, are manipulative, are wounded, are pathetic, are sexist, are whatever else, insert your derogatory word, we don't do anything for ourselves as women. Feminism has done so much good. Obviously, anyone that doesn't say that, like, I can't help you. Obviously, it's done so much good. But we need to kind of pump the brakes. And the reason why I say this with some of the things that are happening in the world, in my opinion, is because I'm seeing way too many women, ladies, check yourself on this, get on their high horse and exude this I'm better than men kind of energy. And now the roles have really switched where it's a manhunt. Instead of being a witch hunt, it's a manhunt. And it's this constant energy of men are less than. It makes women feel powerful, like they've won, quote unquote, like there's some kind of fight. I'm like, you realize we're stronger in unity, not when we're going at each other. Or maybe it feeds into their I'm a victim narrative, because that's very much a real thing. People will just fight for the sake of fighting because it makes them feel significant, because people get off on the adrenaline rush. People are addicted to victimhood. Whatever the reason is less relevant than the truth that it makes them feel significant. So whatever their reason of why they're doing it, whatever, but it makes them feel significant. It's not empowerment. This kind of behavior is not female empowerment or feminine empowerment. It is actually complaining, it's bitching, it's victimhood wrapped in a mask of men are shit. If you wanted to give feedback to men to really make them rise for you from a deeply confident and respectful place, it would sound a lot different and you wouldn't be kind of putting it out publicly with this shaming information, essentially, or the way that you're saying it in this derogatory way. This isn't to say that men are always perfect. This is to say, ladies, remember that you are not perfect either. You're a bitch sometimes. He doesn't like your emotions sometimes. You say mean things sometimes. You gaslight and are toxic too sometimes. But that doesn't make you less than. You don't think it makes you less than because you're human, because sometimes you don't understand him, because sometimes you say a mean thing when you don't mean it. That doesn't make you the scum of the earth. It makes you human, right? It makes you a human being that has their own coping mechanisms and is just working on getting through sometimes and doing their best. And that's all somebody can expect from you, for you to do your best. And so if you're actually wanting equality and equity, right? It is so essential that you start treating men with the same kind of respect, because the issue that I'm seeing a lot these days is women are losing respect for men. And do you know where this comes from a lot of the time? A lack of understanding for them. And they don't want to understand them because they think I'm right, you're wrong. As in, I'm saying I as a woman, like women are right, men are wrong. If you want to feel more empowered, if you want to feel safer, if you want to feel sexier, if you want to feel more confident, if you want to feel more supported, do one thing for yourself this year. Heal your relationship with being a woman, because you got some generational shit to work on that needs to be healed. We all do. Because we've gone through the ringer. We've had to fight for this. So it's now, because we have it, we need to now heal this generational anger and rage, so that we can then live in harmony with men and not continue to exacerbate these wounded relationships. But you have to get off your high horse, and you have to do yourself the favor this year of learning to understand men. Learn them. I think one of the most underrated things for relationships, people don't talk about this enough, is understanding the opposite sex. And I was thinking about this the other day of, wow, it's actually kind of concerning that couples will go to couples counseling and they'll sit in front of a man or a woman. And most of the time, this man or this woman does not understand the opposite sex. And so she immediately is biased. She's understanding, let's say that you and your husband are going to couples counseling and you're seeing a female therapist. Great. Great for you if you're a woman. Not so great if you're a man. If she doesn't understand completely men and the difference between men and women and the difference in communication and how he receives information differently and how his brain works differently and all those kinds of things and his motivating factors and his needs as a man and all those things, then when you're explaining, well, he didn't do blah, 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 she is going to be biased. Even if she's not trying, because she's probably not, that's a good therapist, she's going to be biased because she's like, I understand you. And she's going to, in her head, be like, why doesn't he fucking get it? And something that my clients have said to me for a long time is they appreciate how much I will say to them, you're being a woman right now. And I will explain the male perspective to them. I'll be like, this is what's happening in his brain. And I'll say, just go and ask him. Just go and say, hey, Monica said that this is what you're thinking. Is this right? Every time. Monica's right. Monica's right. And they're like, oh my God, how? And I've trained them to obviously understand men and learn so much about it. So now they can be like, pause. Am I being a woman? And I'll do this to myself in kind of a joking way of, am I just being a woman right now? And sometimes me and my fiance will do it. If he'll just be like, I'm being a man, or he'll be like, you're being a woman, or I'll just be like, oh my God, you're being such a fucking man right now. And we do it as a way to not be pointing the finger of it's you or it's me, but rather, oh, this is biology. And just to help realize that there's always going to be moments in relationships where we don't see eye to eye. And it doesn't make us any worse. It doesn't make him right, me wrong. It actually just makes us in a heterosexual relationship where we have two completely different brains and we have two completely different hormonal systems trying to cohabitat, and it can be hard as fuck. So you're not, when you're, you know, cohabitating in a heterosexual relationship, you've got two completely different people, a man and a woman. And then you also have the traumas, the upbringings, different cultures, like all these sorts of different things. So yeah, there's going to be moments where you don't see fucking eye to eye. There's going to be moments where you want to smack his head into a wall, but it's not that he is then being manipulative and toxic and X, Y, and Z necessarily. It literally could just be, oh, we're having cultural differences right now. Or, oh, we're having a man and a woman moment. Or, oh, it's because I grew up in this kind of environment where you grew up in this kind of environment, so you will never understand what I'm talking about. We've had those. I have trained myself to not jump to the conclusions that are slapped all over social media, because boy, can you get influenced by them. And I have trained myself to really pull back and learn how to explain it to him in a way that he will understand so that I can get the outcome that I am wanting to get, which has done absolute wonders for our relationship. Because there are a lot of things that we are that we are completely different on because we've had completely different upbringings. For the ladies listening, this is what I want to say to you. If your husband or fiance or boyfriend sometimes doesn't see your point of view, or sometimes gaslights you, or sometimes it's like, that's silly that you think that. Please, for your sake, don't think that he's a bad guy. What you need to actually do is learn how else you could communicate it to him and how you could obviously help him to not jump to those kinds of conclusions and dig a little bit deeper and learn how to communicate better. A lot of guys don't know how to communicate very well. And one of the beautiful things about being a feminine woman is that you can help him to learn how to communicate better. You can kind of be the leader in those harder conversations and in helping him to develop his communication skills. In Embodiment of Dating number 2, which is open next week, I think, I'm opening it again. It's going to be the second round. We have new modules coming. There's 2 Q&As that are going to be happening. I'm very excited for this. In Embodiment of Dating number 2, I really teach you guys so much about how to move through those hard moments and not just like, oh, breathe through it. Obviously not. We know I don't do that shit. I'm really telling you exactly what to do, how to do it, the body language, like giving you examples of in these different challenging moments, what you can do to get deeper into the conversation, to really get to the root of the problem or to get to the outcome that you're actually wanting to get. And these kinds of tools and tactics are really revolutionary for you and the relationship, but also for developing his ability to communicate with you in the relationship as well. So let me wrap this up because I've gone on like such a fucking tangent, but hopefully you guys liked it. So ladies, if you are wanting your man to step more into his healed masculine energy, stop commenting on, sharing, liking, or supporting hateful content. Just think, if a man made a reel about how women are X, Y, and Z and put all these generalizations, he'd probably have his life ruined, let's just say. So if you as a woman are wanting to be treated like an equal, then start acting like one. If you want men to respect you, then show that you are worthy of respect. I find it so entertaining when women are all feminism, and female empowerment, and women can do anything, but then simultaneously talk about men not doing enough and women are left to do it all themselves. Like, yeah, we often do that to ourselves, right? We push men away and then complain we have no help. Like, we emasculate them and bitch that they don't help us. And it's like, well, of course they're not fucking helping you because you're emasculating them. You're pushing them away. You're trying to be all like, I can do it all myself. Look at me. I'm Miss Independent. I'm a super mom, etc. So if this is where you are contradicting yourself, then this is your call out so that this year you can change and things can actually start happening in the way that you want them to happen. And you can start feeling fucking supported because radical feminism and this like intense female empowerment is to the detriment of men. It's demonizing masculinity. We are putting traditional masculinity into the bucket with toxic masculinity, which is entirely incorrect and based on false pretenses. Instead, we need to realize that masculinity is essential for a functioning society. And if we continue to feminize men and make all these like fucking soft boys, we'll be left with a population of miserable, bitter women and miserable, angry men. And last thing that's very important, making men more feminine doesn't make them better men. You are bottling up their essence and it will explode sooner or later. If you want to have a safe, reliable man in your life and you want more of them in the world, then you need to support them to be masculine men. If a man cannot be a man and do what men do, then they will be a dangerous man. A man that cannot get out his rage, feel his testosterone, and go after what he wants will only be able to be suppressed for so long. And listen to this. This is a fucking nugget for you guys that I wrote down. An expressed man isn't dangerous. A suppressed man is. Because like I said before, you can only suppress a person for so long and they will fucking explode like a champagne bottle. Think about you. Think about all those bottled up things that you've kept in. And then all of a sudden, you just let it out one Tuesday night. And he's like, where the fuck did this come from? And you've bottled it up. It's built up over years. All that fucking resentment. You do the same thing to him. He's not some like passive nice man. He is an angry, bitter, rageful man that will explode one day. And probably when his sports team loses, which we see happen all the time. Right. I know people will blame it on, oh, it's toxic masculinity. They get sucked into sport. And when their sport team loses, that's when, you know, on those days, if you don't know this, when there's like big sports games, typically speaking, on those days of the year, it's very dangerous to women because abusive husbands will become abusive when their sports team loses. Here's the thing. Of course, it could be because their sports team loses, but probably not. What it's more likely the result of is that was just the straw that broke the camel's back, and they've bottled up all this other stuff underneath it. They have no ability to regulate their emotions because they're not in a healthy relationship with you, right? You haven't made them feel like they can express their emotions for whatever reason. And I'm not saying, FYI, I'm not saying that him being abusive is your fault. That is absolutely not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if you want to be in a relationship with a healthy masculine man, you can help him by not suppressing his masculinity. You need to help him by like guiding it to a healthy expression and you continuing to obviously have healthy boundaries, et cetera, and not shame men. If you are shaming your husband and emasculating him or your boyfriend or whatever it is, stop doing it because you're not helping yourself and you are not helping him. All right, I'm going to wrap it up there for you guys today. Embodiment of dating. I feel like cough coming on. Embodiment of dating number two is open or it's opening. It's opening beginning of February. You'll see when it's open. It's on my Instagram stories. You'll get an email about it. It's open. I have new modules dropping. We have two Q&As coming live. There's already a plethora of really fantastic modules that are there for you guys. Last time was an absolute fucking hit. The best bit is this is not a like vibey, oh, cute, like high vibe, princess, rainbows, everything's great relationship course. This is a relationship course for getting through those hard things that are in every relationship. These are essential like tools and strategies and teachings and educations and embodiment practices that you will use for the rest of your life in romantic relationships. And honestly, everyone needs it. If you're not sure whether it's for you, as usual, send an email, ask your questions, and we will be here to guide you.